بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. This lesson, lesson 20, is the last lesson from the section on knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From next lesson, we enter the discussion about prophethood and revelation. This lesson is about divine justice. And we had already some reference to this issue of justice before, but this is the lesson in which we should expand. There are different interpretations of justice. You know, justice or adl or adala is something that no one would question. Yeah? I don't think you find anyone who is against justice. But how to interpret is another issue. People have different interpretations of justice. And when it comes to observing justice, people have different excuses not to observe it, unfortunately. So, as it's very hard to find people who completely observe justice. The Quran tells us you must observe justice even with respect to your enemies. Yeah? لَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٌ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعَدَلُوا اَعْدَلُوا. Even with respect to enemies, but sometimes even with respect to your brothers, sisters, friends, you may face problem. So, is something accepted by everyone, praised by everyone, but people have different interpretations and people have different levels of commitment to justice. At the moment, our concern is understanding, and inshallah, then we should have a concern for practicing. In the book, there are two interpretations given. One is اِعْطَاءُ كُلِّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ. To give everyone who has a right his due right. اِعْطَاءُ كُلِّ ذِي حَقٍ ذِي حَقٍ. Even ذِي حَق can include animals. Sometimes animals have rights over us. Yeah? Islamically, we have rights of objects. Even we have rights of our organs. Your eye has right over you. Your hand has right over you. Your tongue has right over you. It's not only people have right over us. Even our organs have rights over us. The animals, the plants, water, everything has rights over us. Environment. You know how much, unfortunately, we have ruined the environment. You know, the amount of, waste that our generation has produced, I think is equal to the history of humanity. Honestly, the waste that we have produced, and especially if you add to this the waste of time that we have done, and based on minds, you know, that we have done, then it's more than history of mankind, much more. So Islam tells us that everything has right over us. So justice is اِعْطَاءُ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ. To give everyone who has a right or everything that has right, it's or his due right or her due right. There is another interpretation which says وَضْعُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فِي مَوْضَعِهِ. Justice is to put everything in its due place. This definition or interpretation is more far-reaching, and it includes even wisdom, because it's not just a matter of observing rights, it's also observing what suits better everything. It's more than right. Yeah, for example, if I have a company, I want to employ people, okay? I can take a person who is very talented and say, I want to, for example, put you in this department which has nothing to do with his talents. According to the verse definition, this doesn't conflict with justice. Yeah? For example, a person is very talented in, I don't know, in administration. If I put him in, for example, finance, it's not good for him, but I'm not doing anything against justice. But when I say وَضْعُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فِي مَوْضِعِهِ, it's also a matter of wisdom as well. It means that you try to put everything, every person or every object in the best place that suits that person or object. So even if they don't have right over you, you should observe what is the best for them. Yeah? So when you employ people, don't just think about their rights. Also think about what suits them better. Something that can make them good progress. Even about the objects. I remember one of our teachers, Ayatollah Ahmad Imyanuji Rahmatullah Alayhi, he gave an example that remained in my mind. He said, a wise person is that even when he is putting books on each other, considers the significance of the books. A wise person never puts mafati on Quran. Quran must be on the top. Although mafati is a very important book, but mafati is not like Quran. You put Quran on mafati. And then if you have other books about different subjects which have no verses of the Quran, then you put mafati on top of them. So you have to be even this much careful, you know, about wisdom. So it's more than giving everything its right, it's putting everything in its place. So, Muslim theologians all agreed that Allah is just, but they had difficulty in coming to an agreement about interpretation of justice and what it implies. If you remember, we said this before, Ash'arites had the idea that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is right and is just and it's wise, is something that you cannot question. Okay, you remember we had this discussion before. This is the idea which is known in the West as divine command theory. Christians also had, you know, people who shared the same idea. Jews had some people who shared the same idea. Even today, many people have this idea that God does things not by observing a standards or requirements of justice. Whatever he does is just. Even if he sends pious people to hell, that is just. We say no. We say that Allah does what is just, but justice is not arbitrary. Justice is a real thing, is an objective thing, and Allah observes that. You are not serving Allah by making his decisions arbitrary. You are not serving Allah by saying that the only reason we say what his decision is just because this is what we understand as definition. Yeah, it's like, you know, begging the question. we don't have time to discuss about this issue of, you know, Ash'arite, Mu'tazilite, but what we want to say is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala observes justice by giving everyone his right and also by putting everything in its appropriate place. But few points. First of all, when we say Allah gives everyone his right or her right, we should remember that no one by himself or herself has any right over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are not independent from Allah, and then we say, okay, I am independent from Allah, and I have done something for him, and he has, you know, to give me back. Or he has, you know, benefited from me, so he has to give me back. No one has any right over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if you are given, instead of two eyes, one eye, and the other one is blind. Can you say Allah has not observed my right? Like every human being, I have right of having two eyes. You cannot say that. Why? Because no one has any right over Allah to claim. On what basis you say that he must give you two eyes? Has Allah received anything from you that in return he has to give you this? Have you done anything for him that in return you expect this? If he gives you two eyes or one eye or nothing, you cannot question his justice. You cannot question his commitment to observing rights. Because no one has right over him. If someone comes to the room and gives us, for example, you know, a book freely, we cannot say this was our right. So if he gives some people free books and he doesn't give to some people free books, those who have not received free book, they cannot say you are not just. Why you have given other people free books and you haven't given me? Allah gives free eyes. If he doesn't give you free eyes, you cannot question, because that's free. Yeah, whatever you have been given has been given to you free. The only thing that you can ask is this. Oh Allah, I know that you observe everyone's rights if they have rights. For example, if you promise something, you keep your promise. If you tell people, you know, you do this and I give you back this, you observe all this. This is you observing rights of people. I know that. So I know that if I have problem, if I don't have money, if I don't have health, if I don't have good children, I don't have good parents, I know that it has nothing to do with your justice. It's not that, you know, I had the right that you didn't observe. Okay, I know that. But could you please explain to me or let me understand what is the wisdom behind these differences that we have? Okay? If you ask this question, it means that you are improving in understanding. The question is not justice of Allah. The question is, I want to understand wisdom. You know, if you go to someone's house and you see that, for example, they have put TV in a place that you don't expect. Okay? Or the fridge, for example, is in the, I don't know, guest room. Yeah? TV is next to the toilet, for example. You don't expect this. You cannot say you are not just because you don't observe what I expected to be observed. It's not a question of justice. It's his money, his property. He can do whatever he wants. The maximum you can say is that I know you are a person who doesn't do things without reason. Could you explain to me what was the reason you put these things in these, you know, special settings? Because I know you are a wise person. There must be a reason. Can you help me? Okay? This approach is good. Because first of all, you understood that it's not a point about justice. And secondly, you are asking for the sake of understanding, not questioning. Because you cannot question. A wise person can explain to you why he has done things in this way, or he may think that it's too difficult for you to understand, or you have to wait till you understand. Okay, so he may not explain to you, but you are not questioning his wisdom or justice. You understand? So, if there are, you know, many things in this world that we understand, and there are many things that we don't understand, we cannot question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom because of those things that we don't understand. What we understand from this world is enough to make us believe that he is wise. You remember we talked about argument from design. Yeah? So you see that how beautifully Allah has created us. Yeah? If Allah has made this beautiful world in the way that we appreciate and we think that this can be only done by an intelligent being who has, you know, maximum power and knowledge, then there are few things that you don't understand. Why earthquake comes? Why, I don't know, sometimes there is drought, shortage of rain. Maybe you don't understand. Okay. You cannot question Allah because of these few things that you don't understand. Because your knowledge is not complete. Your knowledge is not sufficient. Maybe you have to learn, maybe you have to go to university and do lots of study so that you understand how earthquake comes. And then you would understand. Okay? So, our question is to be directed towards justice or wisdom? Wisdom. And then, for the sake of understanding wisdom behind things, but we can never question Allah, because the only person who can question someone is the one who masters the subject. If you can say, I know everything about this subject, and then I see you have not, you know, done wisely, then that's possible. But who can say, I know everything about this subject? Yeah? So, we have to remember this important point, this fundamental point, that justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond our question, not because by definition we say whatever he is doing is just, because no one has any right over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever he gives is a blessing, is a gift, is free, and we have to be grateful. If someone gives to some people and he doesn't give to other people, but whether he gives or not is from his own pocket, we cannot question his justice. It's just a matter of wisdom. So this is a very important point to remember. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala observes justice in at least three areas. One is when he wants to make a law in his legislation. In his legislation, Allah is just. He doesn't ask us to do things which are beyond our capacity. Are you clear? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not, for example, ask us to do miracles. Allah would not ask us, you know, for example, you know, to fly by our own hands without having wings. Yeah? لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا ما آتاها. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Even there are many things that we can do, but because it makes our life difficult, even about those things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not command us to do them. Yeah? Even when we say, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, this وسعها is not taken in its literal sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do things which we can do it with little effort. Yeah? So for example, He doesn't ask us, you know, not to eat and not to drink for more than sunrise to sunset. Although we were able to do, maybe we were able to do, for example, I don't know, 24 hours like this. But He doesn't want us to suffer. He wants us to do a little effort. Yeah? So, what we can manage, Allah commands, nothing more. This is one point. Then when it comes to judgment, Allah is just. When He judges us, He would not question me for what other people were supposed to do. This is justice, yeah? Sometimes people blame you or punish you for what other people have done. Sometimes a person does something wrong, then the whole family are to suffer because people judge about the whole family. Or some, you know, governments, some tyrants. If one person does something, then they destroy the whole house and household. Sometimes the whole tribe. If Saddam Hussein, you know, if someone was, you know, fighting Saddam Hussein, they were not just killing him. Maybe the whole tribe, they destroyed them. Yeah? There is no justice. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not judge people except for what they have done. Not for what, you know, their friends have done or what their, you know, relatives have done. What they have done, what they have subscribed to, at least something that they have supported, they have accepted, they have endorsed. But even if they have endorsed, the punishment can be different. You know, someone who kills and someone who claps for the killer, they are both responsible, but the punishment can be different. Anything is very carefully judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even for example, if you have a good child or bad child, Allah is just. If you have a good child and you have been good in training the child, in upbringing the child, Allah will give you credit. If you have a bad child and you have done your best in upbringing, Allah does not blame you. Again, Allah gives you credit. Allah doesn't say, I look at the end result. I see that your child is bad, so you are not, you know, rewarded and you have to be punished. No. If you have done your part properly, Allah will reward you. Your child is bad, it's then between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have done your part properly. Yeah? Or on the, you know, many issues are like this. You do something people don't appreciate. Prophet Nuh, Allah Nabiyina wa Ali wa alayhi salam. How many years he was preaching? 950 years. Yeah? 950 years he was preaching. How many people believed in him? Or believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through him? Some 80 people. Okay? So every 12 years, as average, one person. You know? So if Prophet Nuh wanted to have a hose like this, how many years it could have taken him? For first group, about 650 years. With the second group, about 950 years, just to have a hose like this. But Allah doesn't say to Prophet Nuh that you are not successful. You have done your job. As far as Allah is concerned, Allah says, I am very pleased with you. Indeed, Allah says to Prophet Nuh, I want to give you more credit. Why? Because other people, when they were doing, you know, this preaching and tabligh, they were seeing the result. And seeing the result gives encouragement. But you didn't see any result and kept working. So I give you a medal. What is that? You are one of Ulul Azm. So I make you one of the five outstanding prophets. When it comes to the results, your results are not outstanding. Maybe they're outstanding in the other side. Yeah? But it's not important. Your efforts, your commitment, your determination is important for Allah. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes Nuh one of the most outstanding people. You know, I many times have said this, that if Prophet Nuh had contract with any community, they would have extended his contract after the first time. Yeah? Because they say, oh, you have been working for our community 3-4 years, even no one person. It takes you another, you know, 8 years to have one person. So we don't extend your contract. But Prophet Nuh was working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with him. So when it comes to judgment, Allah is just. He doesn't, you know, question you for bad things that other people done or people have not shown the response to you. Allah says, you done your best, that's enough for you. The third area is justice with respect to reward and punishment. After the judgment is made, then he gives you your reward fully. And he doesn't punish you more than what you deserve. Indeed, he may forgive you. He may forgive you, but he would never forget even the least of your reward. So if you are supposed to receive X amount of reward, you will get it. Indeed, you will get more. You know how many expressions we have in the Quran for reward? We have Ajrun Azim, Ajrun Kareem, Ajrun Kabir, Ajrun Ghayru Mamnoon. It's all to emphasize that his reward is great, is generous, without stopping. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives so much of reward that people would be surprised. They think there must be a mistake. Maybe they don't know how to, you know, calculate why they have given me this much. But there is no mistake. This is generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives so much that you think there must be a mistake. But it's not a mistake. So, in making law and legislation, he is just. In judging, he is just. In reward and punishment, he is just. But as we said, the question is much more. Not only he is just, he is wise. Everything that he does is for a good purpose. Allah doesn't do things in vain. Based on his perfection, only best things happen from him. Even the second best doesn't happen from him. If you learn this point for tonight, then this is very important. And if you learn also other points, then it's very, very important. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do the second best things or the third best things. He only does the best things. Because there is no reason why a person who has absolute knowledge and absolute power and goodness, why he should not do the best. Can you imagine a lady who is the best cook, okay, can make the most delicious food and has all the ingredients and all the time and love for the guests, but doesn't make the best food? If she doesn't make the best food, there must be some problem here. Yeah? Otherwise, if there is no problem, why she should not make the best thing that she can do? If you have an artist, for example, a person who is very good in calligraphy and can do the best calligraphy, has the skill, has the knowledge, has the time, has all the materials that he needs, why he should not do the best? You cannot explain if he does something other than the best. Just to give you an idea how you cannot explain this, think about this point. The best is only one. But if he doesn't do the best, then there are many different options. To do the second best, the third best, the fourth best, the fifth best. What is the explanation then? You have to have a reason to say that why he did the second best or the third best. If you don't have any extra reason and you have just his potentials and talents and skills, the only thing which is distinct is the best. Otherwise, anything else is like the others. Is it clear?
Yeah.
We can understand why Allah does the best. But if you say Allah doesn't do the best, then I don't know why he did the second, why he didn't do the third, why he didn't do the fourth, you know. Then there is no end to these questions. Only the best. Because the best is distinct from the others. You know, like for example, when you have two points, the straight line is the shortest. A wise person takes the shortest route. If a wise person takes any other route, then we wonder, why you took this one? There are thousands of different ways that you could have taken. For example, the shortest route is 1 kilometer. He doesn't take that one. He takes something which is 1.5 kilometer. Then I wonder, why you took 1.5? Why you didn't take 2 kilometers? Why you didn't take 1.6? Why you didn't take 1.3? If you are missing the best, then there are lots of other options. So you have to answer all of them. The only way that I can understand why you did this, if you do the best, if you do the shortest, you know, this is why when you tell the truth, you have peace of mind. A person who tells the truth doesn't need to think too much. Because truth is one. But when you tell lies, there are many different ways of telling the lie. Then you wonder, shall I tell the lie in this way or in that way? Then you worry. And you make mistakes. When you tell the truth, you don't have any worry. Because truth is one. Saves you energy. Is it clear?
Yes.
So, to do the best, to go to the straight path, to tell the truth, these are all coming from the same, you know, perspective, you know, the same direction. This is the only thing that we can understand without any worry, without any hesitation, without any confusion. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wise, and he does the best things. Now the question is, what about these problems that we have in the world? We have two types of problems. we have natural problems and we have moral problems. Natural evil and moral evil. Natural problems like what? Like catastrophes, earthquake, flood, storm, shortage of food. Yeah? These are natural problems. Or for example, sometimes an epidemic disease. Moral problems are the problems which are caused by human beings. Like murder, war, terrorism, extremism, takfirism. These are moral problems. Okay? So, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wise and He does the best things and creates the best possible world, why we have these problems? The answer is, first of all, this is not a question of justice, it's a question of wisdom. Do you know everything about this world? Or you accept that there are many things that you don't know? Who is there to say, I know everything? The one who says, I know everything about this, the world, is the most ignorant person. Yeah? I don't think you find any scientist, any scholar in any field who says, I know everything. If someone says, I know everything about my even my field, not other fields, he would lose his credit. If you find a doctor who says, I know everything about medicine, people will laugh. You are joking. No one knows everything, even about his own field. So how can we say we know everything about the world? So when you don't know everything about something, then if you don't understand why it happens in this way, you don't question. You ask for the sake of understanding. With Allah's creation, alhamdulillah, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most perfect and He does things in the best way. But please distinguish between two things. His choice is the best. Yeah? But what is chosen may not be perfect. A wise person makes the best choice, but the choice may not be perfect. Sometimes you ask someone, why you have put this person here? You are a wise person. This person has problems. He says, I know he has problems, but this is the best person. The best person that I have is not perfect, but he's the best person. Either I have not to put anyone there, it will be chaos. I put someone who's worse than him, this is also not wise. We are not living in a perfect world. We don't have perfect choices. We have choices which are bad or good or best, but no choice is perfect. Do you understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the best possible world. But this world is not perfect because there is no perfection in material world. There is no perfection. So there is no perfection. Very easy to understand. How there is no perfection? There are many ways to understand. First, we have limitations in this world. How much land, for example, we have? It's limited. Everyone wants the best land. So some people can get it, some people cannot get it. How many, for example, people are there? We have limited number of people. If you want to, for example, you know, find, you know, people to work with, people to learn from, people to marry, people, I don't know, to do some projects together, people are limited. Their time is limited. Their resources are limited. Another thing, in this world, what other people do affect you. You know, this is not perfection, but this is the nature of this world. For example, I do everything properly, you know, I turn to earn income money, which is halal. I try not to do zulm to anyone. I try to be, you know, kind with everyone. But someone is driving carelessly, you know, and hits me. All my life I may be blind. I haven't done anything bad, you know, I'm not guilty. But this has happened to me. Or, you know, I don't know why, you know, someone on the street starts, you know, shouting at me, insulting me. I get affected. This is not perfection. Yeah, because I should be affected by things that I have caused, not by things that other people cause. But this is the world of cause and effect. What other people do can have impact on us. Okay? It's not that everyone is living in his own world. In heaven, inshallah, when you go to heaven, no one can worry you. No one can bring a stress to you. Pardon? There is no stress there. And even if someone has a stress, cannot put it on someone else. Everyone can just bring joy. Yeah? No one, you know, will hit you in heaven. No one is, you know, for example, you know, driving carelessly in heaven. Yeah? So you don't get bad, you know, energy or, you know, effect from anyone else. But this world is world of interaction. I do something good, you benefit. I do something bad, you get harmed. This is dunya. And also, you know, we have lots of physical laws. If, for example, we are not careful about planting, then rain comes and becomes flood. If you make your houses near to river, then you can, you know, get, you know, destroyed. So there are many physical laws here. And also about moral problems, also people are free. They may do good things, they may do bad things, we get affected. Anyway, this world is not perfect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not supposed to make a choice which is perfect. Allah does a choice which is the best, not perfect. Not because he cannot do, because this is not possible. Can Allah make 2 plus 2 billions? No. If you bring $2 and I bring also $2, we have $4. Yeah? Allah cannot make, you know, these $4, you know, $1 billion. Yes, Allah can bless these $4, but cannot make it $1 billion. Okay? If I make for example, house without observing the regulations and my house collapses on my family, this is my fault. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a world which is the best possible world. His decision is the best. His decision is perfect. But what has been decided is not perfect necessarily. What has been decided is the best possible thing. And inshallah, there would be a perfect world. And that perfect world also gives meaning to this world. Even, you know, Quran says that if you detach akhirah from dunya, dunya by itself is not meaningful. أفحسبتم أنما خلقناكم عبثا وأنكم إلينا لا ترجعون. It means that if you believe that we are not going back to Allah, creation of this world is not wise. Yeah? If Allah had just created this world, it was not wise. If we have that world next to this world, then everything makes sense. One question is also in the book, you know, why some people are punished eternally, but they have lived in dunya only for limited time. You know, if it is justice with respect to punishment, this person has been in dunya 50 years, 60 years, 100 years maximum, 200 years, okay? Why some of the bad people are promised to have eternal punishment? The answer is that what decides the duration of punishment is not the duration of crime. You don't find in any legal system in the world that they say your punishment should be as long as the time of crime. Most of the crimes happen in 1 minute. Yeah? You can kill 1,000 people by pressing one, but it can take 1 minute. Or sometimes, for example, people do something 1 year, 2 years. For example, if we have, you know, Second World War, all of it took 5 years. So can we say that the people who caused this are to be punished 5 years? So why you think that the duration of punishment should be equal to the duration of crime? This is one point. The second point is that the people who are threatened or promised to have eternal punishment are the people who have done very special crimes, not every criminal. To the extent that, this is not clearly mentioned in the book, to the extent that you can say these are the people that crime has become part of the reality. You know, there are two ways of sinning or making a crime. Sometimes you are a good person, but you commit a crime or sin. So this is accidental to you. You are not a wicked person, okay? You are not a vicious person, but you have done a bad action. In this case, either you will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or there will be little punishment. But there are people that crime has become part of their reality. Like, for example, son of Nuh. Allah says, إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ. He is a wicked or vicious act. Not agent, act. You know, a person who is murderer, please, you know, listen to this point very carefully. A murderer is a person who is vicious. He's not just a good person who has committed a mistake or committed a sin. Because killing an innocent person is something that you cannot do unless you are really a bad person. How can you kill an innocent person? You know, we have a hadith in Kanzul Ummal, you know, it's a Sunni collection of hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which says that when a person commits the first act of murder, his heart becomes upside down, mankus, upside down. When it is upside down, then what happens? Then everything which is high, you see it low. Everything which is low, you see it high. So it means that you see good things bad and bad things good. It means that now you are transformed. Therefore, the second killing is very easy for you. The first is always to be avoided. Because if God forbids you do the first crime, the second becomes easier, and maybe you don't even feel any guilt, especially about murder. A murderer would not understand the badness of the action. And later they start enjoying, and as a hobby. If they don't kill people, you know, they feel this day was not a good day. We haven't hunted people. You know, like hunters who kill animals, these people kill human beings, and they feel even good. They were human beings like other people. They are not created, you know, in a strange way. They are created like anyone else, but their nature, their heart is transformed. Eternal punishment is for such type of crimes. A serious fundamental crime that is transformation of the person. Okay? And for such type of crimes, you don't expect limited punishment. And especially if you remember this point that reward and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not based on contract, is not based on a decision. It's not like worldly reward and punishment. You know, people in different countries decide differently about what would be the punishment or penalty for crimes. Some people say we should execute this person. Some people say we don't execute, we put in prison for a few years. Some people say prison for life. Some people say, no, we should just ask them to pay money. So this is based on the agreement, on the decision, on the law. But Allah's reward and punishment are real, are embodiment of the action. Tajassum a'mal. It means that the same action will be shown to you. When you see your good action, you will enjoy. That's your reward. What is the best reward for the good student? The knowledge that you have learned. This is your reward. What is the worst punishment for a student who has not studied? Your ignorance. Especially when you see other people have learned. So this hasra, this feeling of loss plus ignorance. Yeah? This is punishment. I'm not saying there are no other punishments, but for sure this is also there. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَحْ. Even if you have done the small, the least of the good, the particle, you will see it, you will see your action. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهْ. You would see your action. Okay? So, reward and punishment are real. You would see your own action. And also, another thing that we have in some hadith is the idea of intention, which is related to the transformation of nature. You know, once a person asked one of the imams, why a person, for example, who is bad or doing sins, you know, goes to hell forever. You know, certain sinners. Imam said, because this person has the intention of doing this forever. If he was given opportunity to live forever, he was doing this forever. Which I think is the same thing that I mentioned. It means that his nature is bad. It's not by chance. Because he's bad, if you give him 1 year, he does it. If you give him 10 years, he does it. If you give him 1,000 years, he does it. If you give him infinite time, he will do it. So, it's the transformation of the nature. I think we have almost, inshallah, covered everything about this lesson 20. Inshallah, next week, we will study lesson 21, which is the beginning of prophethood. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.